Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. St. Louis Public Radio work and life reporter Mary Leonard has a wide-ranging beat, and one of her big stories this past year was the Arch anniversary. We'll talk about that and some other things a little bit later, but first, a preview of the Missouri legislative session that begins at midweek. A lot of familiar issues face the lawmakers, and the fact that it's an election year is likely to have an impact. With us to take a look at the prospects are Joe Manis, St. Louis Public Radio's political reporter. Marshall Griffin covers the Capitol for us. And we're also joined by Professor Terry Jones, the founder's professor of political science and public policy administration at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Thanks all for being with us, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, and thanks so much.
Marshall, I'm going to begin with you. This is an election year. What kind of an impact is that likely to have on the legislative session?
Well, the usual impact, but it's a big election year, a presidential election, governor's race, a U.S. Senate race, and, of course, all the House seats and about half of the Senate seats. So it will probably contribute to the usual slowdown of work that happens during election years. And we've been hearing probably a lot more talk leading up to this year's session about ethics. There seems to be a lot more serious, at least comments saying that that lawmakers, Republicans included, are going to get serious about ethics. But it is an election year, and they said similar things last year. So I will say I'll believe it when I see it. But so far, I would not expect as much legislation to make it out simply for those reasons.
Joe, when we talk about ethics, as they say, we've seen this movie before.
Yes. Now, for our listeners, what we mean by ethics, some of the proposals that have been out there are to basically get rid of the revolving door so that legislators would have to do a waiting period, like a year or two.
Before becoming a lobbyist,
where now they don't have any, which is why we have a new leader of the Senate, Ron Richard, because Tom Dempsey, who had been head of the Senate, left early to take a job, and he's lobbying. Now, he's not lobbying Missouri. He's lobbying another state. But the point is, you know, that's what's going on. You've got a former House Speaker, you know, Steve Tilley, who's one of the biggest lobbyists in Jeff City these days. So there's some that want to do that. There's some who want to restrict or get rid of all lobbyist gifts. Now, it's not just little trinkets. It's dinners. It's game tickets, things like that. Mm-hmm. There's also a lot of talk about doing something to, and I think this is where you'll see more movement, the whole deal with the interns, more restrictions, more on how the legislators should be behaving. And there's already been sort of an ombudsman set up, so there'll be somebody for the interns to go to. We're talking about college interns if they're having problems or being harassed by a certain legislator or something. So I think you're particularly likely to see something on that. And, of course, the governor has renewed his call for restoration of campaign donation limits. That's not going to go anywhere. But I think he's going to renew it. So it's that type of stuff.
Terry, what will you be looking at and looking for?
There's always the budget, even though the fact that it's an election year, as Marshall's just pointed out, puts many issues on hold, things like Medicaid expansion, right to work. They still have to pass a budget every year, and they have discretion over roughly $8 to $9 billion. So issues are like how much of that's going to be spent on education, K through 12, higher education, corrections. Are we going to try to cut back into the number of people we have in prison, use alternative forms for those individuals to save money out of the correction budget, social services budgets? Those will still be a very prominent part of any general assembly session, including this one.
It'll be Governor Nixon's last legislative session. How do you expect that to play into it?
I don't think you're going to find a Republican legislature falling all over themselves to help his legacy. So I see business as usual. I think the governor will have the same relationship with the legislature, which has been a centrist compromising posture in this his last year as he has had in previous years.
Joe, your take on that?
Yeah, I think that's probably true. There may be some – I think Nixon's role this session will be like it has been the last couple of sessions, which will be to stop things. I mean, he did that with the right to work, which got through both chambers, and he blocked it, and they weren't able to override. I predict there will probably be some sort of legislation, either abortion or Planned Parenthood or guns, more likely the first two, that might get through because you've got a lot of number of the conservative legislators, several of whom are running for office, including State Senator Kurt Schaefer of Columbia, who want to take a stand on a few things, and they want to also appeal to the conservative base. So the governor's veto pen may come into play on stuff like that. So I think that's going to be his chief role.
Marshall, how do you see his role?
I think it'll be chief advocate in chief for his final year, in addition to blocking a lot of things. He made a promise a couple of years ago in his State of the State address that he would fully fund the K-12 funding formula by his last year in office. So we'll see if he makes that promise, if he actually tries to go for that this time around. I personally don't see it happening, but maybe he'll give it a serious push and serious try on that.
He has also indicated that we also know it's his last attempt to try to affect Medicaid expansion. Everybody seems to think that that's not going to happen. Are you among them?
It's not going to happen because there's just you need the cooperation of the Republican majority, and he's not going to get that. He never would have gotten it.
But I think there may be some discussion on it. And partly because there's a number of other states with Republican governors just within the last few weeks who have been making noise about maybe we should revisit this. And so you're seeing some splits within the Republican ranks between the U.S. Senate and the governors. And this might play out a little bit here in Missouri. I don't think it'll pass, but there may be talk about it.
Most Republican legislators are going to be very reluctant to even talk about Medicaid expansion in terms of doing something about it for fear that that will become an issue in their primary this summer.
That's where the election certainly comes in on an issue like that. Marshall, in terms of pre-filings, anything significant that we should note at this point?
Well, so far the big headline grabber as far as the pre-file bills go is one that's already been withdrawn. That was the one that would have punished college athletes or by taking away their scholarships if they, refused to play on the field or play on the court, going back to the protest on the Mizzou campus that took place when the Mizzou football team said they would not play. Now that has gotten the most, the most attention so far. So far, I have not seen anything, and maybe I can look at it, but I don't think there's anything regarding the treatment of interns that has been pre-filed. I think the reason for that is because the House has already voted to upgrade its rules and said that that was something that can be done by rule and not necessarily needs to be enshrined in state law. That could change later on this session, but so far that's how that is set up.
Well, we talked about this in a previous program, Marshall, but another thing that popped up within the last week or 10 days was proposed legislation to establish a tax holiday on gun purchases.
Oh, that's right. Yes. So that's still very much alive and well. You had asked if that had been withdrawn, and after doing a little research, it's still alive and well. And I imagine – I don't know if it's got any real shot of passing, but it could, and that may be one of the few things that could get passed in an election year, as a lot of Republicans who may be running for re-election or running for higher office that are currently in the House and Senate want something to show their constituents and their potential voters that, hey, this is something I'm strong on, look what I'm doing. So that might actually get a little bit of a push because it's an election year.
Just when you think the Missouri General Assembly could not think of another way to make guns more easy to access, you are not disappointed when at least one or two legislators comes up with another idea.
Now, some of this may get influenced. You know, the state Supreme Court has at least one significant gun case before it. And if the ruling comes down during the General Assembly, that might have some impact. I mean, because General Assembly already has to deal with this whole real ID controversy. Just for your listeners, it means that within a few days, unless things change, you're not going to be able to use your driver's license to get into federal facilities, and the feds are threatening that you won't be able to use it to get on a plane soon. We're among less than a half dozen of states that are in that situation because our state has so far declined to do certain things regarding the security of driver's licenses.
Well, maybe later in the year they'll have a voter a photo ID that they can use for identification.
No, we'll see. That's the thing. The photo ID proposal, which keeps coming up and which may very well come up again this year, relies primarily on the driver's license. And that, and which frankly was why initially, back when this was pushed, the Real ID stuff back in 2005, under the Bush administration, this is why the General Assembly was initially in favor of it. But what happened is by 2009, you have a Democrat in the White House, and there was a concern, particularly among the Tea Party movement and some gun rights activists, that this Real ID making stuff stricter actually could affect them. And so all of a sudden it changed. So the General Assembly has passed two different laws or resolutions barring the state from complying with the Real ID restrictions, even though initially they were for it. So I guess this is a case they were for it before they were against it.
Marshall, thoughts on that?
I think you're going to continue to see a push to not comply with the Real ID Act. Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder, I believe, who's also running for governor, is saying, you know, let's maintain this. Let's don't give in. Let's, you know, there's that that fear among a lot of Jefferson City lawmakers in Jefferson City of the Republicans who say, you know, we've got to push back against Washington. Let's don't give in. Let's continue to push back, and this falls under that.
What about the potential or possibility of a gas tax that keeps coming up? And Missouri, I think, still has the lowest gas tax in the nation. hasn't been increased in many, many years. Is that going to be on the table this time, Marshall?
I think it'll be on the table, but I don't think it'll make it to the final serving of the legislative dinner. If I can use a very tortured analogy there. I do think that the idea of increasing the fuel tax might actually get a little bit more support this time around because, I mean, frankly, the money's got to come from somewhere. But I think that there will still be a significant number of Republicans, maybe even a few Democrats, who will still be against it. But I do think that support will slowly grow for it, but probably not enough for it to actually make it across.
Again, too many Republicans have taken a pledge not to raise any tax any time for anything. And even though I suspect if you talked privately with all Republican members of the Missouri General Assembly, you would find a majority saying, yes, we do need to raise the gas tax. They're afraid to do so for fear of electoral retribution.
But you would think that the notion of them using that money to improve infrastructure, which is in dire need here in the state of Missouri, 600-plus bridges are in need of repair, that would play well politically.
It might, except I raise your taxes today and you don't see that bridge for another 5 years.
Yeah, now I think this may play into some of the other stuff that will be going on because there are several tobacco tax proposals that are on in the initiative petition crowd. And at least one group is actively collecting signatures, which in itself is a lot of work and very expensive. Some legislators, I think, see that because one of the proposals would use some of the proposed tobacco tax hike money for infrastructure. So I think that the tobacco tax might get caught up in some of this. I think the interesting thing is that the General Assembly will be taking place while a lot of these initiative petitions are trying to get their signatures, and like I said, the state Supreme Court will be in session. So there's some things that are happening outside of the Capitol building that may actually affect what happens in the Capitol building.
Got to take a break, but I think there are more than 20 initiative petitions out there potentially, aren't there?
Oh, there's more than that.
Yeah,
that
have been approved for circulation, but not the signature gathering process, which is expensive. And it's a big decision that has to be made will be starting for some of them within this next 30 days.
Yeah, there's about close to 50. But frankly, that happens all the time. It's just – and you end up with maybe one or two who actually get on the ballot. Yeah. So it costs about $1 million to collect all these signatures, and most of these groups don't have it.
All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll do that and come back and continue our preview of the Missouri legislative session. The legislature goes into session on Wednesday. With me in studio are Joe Manis and Terry Jones, and joining us by phone, our man at the State House, Marshall Griffin. Back to continue this discussion in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Joe Manis, political reporter for St. Louis Public Radio. Marshall Griffin is our State House reporter, and political scientist Terry Jones from the University of St. Louis, Missouri, is also with us. Well, let's talk about the football stadium as long as it's in the headlines. Marshall, let's not go back to your metaphor, but I'll reestablish what's going to be on the table, I think. And the football stadium is likely to play a role this time, isn't it?
Yes, I think so, and I think we might see that dealt with fairly early in the session, simply because of next week's projected deadline for NFL owners to decide whether or not they're going to allow a team to move to Los Angeles. Excuse me, there, and whether that team is the St. Louis Rams or one other team along with it. So, this is just. Off the top of my head, but if the Rams move to Los Angeles, I'm guessing that there will be at least somewhat of a de-escalation between the Republicans and the House and Senate and Nixon, as far as because there won't be any urgency at that point. And maybe the same thing will happen if the Rams do stay. You know, since if the Rams aren't going to be moving to Los Angeles next year, then there's no need to try to build a stadium to entice the Rams to stay. So I'm guessing at some point next week, if there is a decision to let the Rams stay or let the Rams go, then it could either way could have some type of de-escalation, as I'm assuming. If no decision is made, if they decide to push this off another year, we might see a continued push to try to to get something built and get something funded.
Terry?
This is not so much a Republican-Democratic dispute as it is a battle of power between the legislature and the governor. Missouri's governor has more powers than most governors of the other 49 states. But Governor Nixon has pushed the envelope on this one in terms of committing the state to continue to pay for bonds into the future in the couple of hundred million plus range. And so whether or not he can unilaterally do that as governor or whether the legislature has the right to weigh in is what's at dispute here.
What do you make of this whole story, Terry, this whole football stadium story?
Well, in the land of the blind, you have to play the game so that we've gotten ourselves. The NFL is a huge monopoly, and we are its victim.
Victim, Joe.
Well, I think this whole dispute is one of the traditional fights between the rural Missourians and the urban Missourians. And this if you go back a little over a decade, we had a similar fight over Ballpark Stadium. And, of course, the difference was the Cardinals were more popular in rural Missouri.
They win.
Than the Rams. So that's, well, now, correct. And but I think that the General Assembly, the main thing is they want to vote. And they're upset that the governor may try to circumvent them. And this plays into the Republicans controlling the General Assembly and the governor being a Democrat. But a lot of this is what they're hearing from their constituents. You've got rural people who are strapped for various things. I mean, I said rural hospitals are closing because of the Medicaid thing. So there's all these other pressures that are raising the level of discontent. And so when people see that we may be offering incentives to billionaires, that just doesn't fly. And this is an interesting case where you've got actually liberals and conservatives, many conservatives, on the same page.
Right. Terry, I would have been disappointed if you and I didn't have a chance once again to talk about the rural-urban divide. Marshall, let's change the subject as time begins to move quickly. What about law enforcement issues and use of force, Ferguson-related issues? Are we going to see a lot of that or not so much?
You'll see a lot of bills filed, and you might even see a good bit of floor debate on some of those. I don't know if any of them have a chance of getting passed in one chamber or both chambers and sent to the governor's desk. But it's not that issue. The issues connected to what happened in Ferguson are not going away, and they will get they will get a good bit of debate and a good bit of publicity. You will have some lawmakers who said that the municipal court reform was the big step, and let's see how that goes. Let's pending anything overturned by a judge in a courtroom. But at this point, I think there will probably, I'd be surprised to see if another Ferguson agenda bill actually makes it to the governor's desk. If so, maybe only one or two at the most.
One of the things is that the Ferguson Commission had, I think, almost 190 calls for action. A good deal of them would require state legislative action. There's been no subsequent coalition to take a handful of those, quote-unquote, the most important or the most feasible, mm-hmm. and to prepare a legislative agenda for 2016. So it, I think, might sink of its own weight for this particular session.
There are some things, though, that should perhaps receive some attention. Police use of force policies. Missouri has a strange use of force law. Body cams and things like that, Joe. I mean, these are things people are talking about and want to see some action on, apparently.
Well, I think this is where the election year plays into a lot of this. You've got Missouri Attorney General Chris Koster, who right now is the only major Democrat running for governor. And Koster has advocated some of this stuff, but it's unclear how much he's going to push this year. He's busy raising money. And so I'm not sure he wants to get into a really deep philosophical fight over the police stuff right now. But this has been something he's talked about, or, you know, like the body cams and some of the other things. And you've got all the Republican candidates for governor who basically contend that Peter Kinder's been up front about it. Contending that there was lawlessness and that we're not doing enough to support police. So I think they don't want to – they're kind of encouraging the legislature not to do anything that's seen as being stricter on law enforcement. So you've got that playing out. So the result is I'd be surprised if you see much.
Marshall, any other thoughts on that issue?
Just stay tuned at this point. That's all I can say.
Remember, if you're going to be a successful Democratic statewide candidate for governor, you don't want to look too urban. And Chris Koster grew up in St. Louis, but he spent most of his adult life in a non-urban area or ex-urban area. So as Joe already pointed out, he doesn't want to get too far out in front on this particular issue that would make him look urban versus rural as opposed to somebody who could be governor for the entire state.
Yeah, I mean, he's been wearing that plaid shirt a lot while he travels around in rural Missouri.
A couple of issues certainly will receive some attention. Joe, I'll start with you on this. Planned Parenthood and abortion.
Yes. Because of the this controversy over the videos from other states, I want to emphasize, and even though Koster has conducted an investigation here and says that there's nothing, Planned Parenthood in Missouri isn't doing any sort of tissue donation, and there's only one clinic, Planned Parenthood clinic in the state right now that does abortions. That's in St. Louis. You've got, mainly State Senator Kurt Schaefer, who's running for Attorney General, who has been leading this legislative committee that's doing these investigations, and he has said he's not going to let up. Now, part of it's because he's in a stiff primary with another Republican, Josh Hawley, who's on leave as a law professor at Mizzou, who's also conservative on that issue, and they both are talking about ways that they can curb abortion or make it more difficult for Planned Parenthood to operate in the state. And Ron Richard, who's the Senate leader, had told me a week or two ago that he expects this issue to come up because he said he's got a lot of members of the Senate who are telling him that they're hearing they need to be doing something on this. Mm-hmm. So I think the big push will be to try to bar Planned Parenthood from getting Medicaid money. Now, I want to emphasize, in Medicaid, there's the federal portion, there's the state portion. Planned Parenthood here and in some other states get some of the federal portion because they provide certain health care services for women. Now, some other states have tried to eliminate their participation in the Medicaid program, and so far they've lost in the courts. You know, the courts have said you don't have jurisdiction over that. Only Congress can do that, which is why there's this talk back and forth in Congress. But some legislators want to pass the law anyway. This is where Nixon may come into play. I suspect you will see this push, even though, again, so far it hasn't been successful in the courts.
Marshall, agree?
Yes, and I will tell you this as well. There are already 7 pre-filed bills, 5 in the House, 2 in the Senate, that are coming out of what's been termed by Democrats as a witch hunt by Republicans in Jefferson City against Planned Parenthood. Some of those bills, for example, the All Lives Matter Act, which changes a law that life would begin at conception, actually put that into Missouri state law. Others that would bar the donation of fetal tissue reports, and things of that nature. There are a lot of bills, or like I said, 7 bills, 5 in the House, 2 in the Senate, that deal with new types of restrictions on abortions, and a lot of that has come out of the testimony and the hearings that have been going on in Jefferson City during the summer.
This is one way in which the elections very much directly affect the session. Chris Koster, the current Attorney General, as we've just talked about, is running for governor. That makes that an open seat. There is a very competitive primary both among Republicans, and Joe has already talked about the Schaefer-Hawley dispute, who can be the most conservative of them all on this issue. And you're going to see a similar phenomenon of appealing to the typical base voter on the Democratic side between Jake Zimmerman and Teresa Hensley.
Let's get some listener participation into this discussion. We'll bring in Jay calling from Normandy. Jay, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, guys. There's so many things to ask about, but I'll go back to the gun thing with a representative from NICSA. Are these guys oblivious to hearing any kind of reports? The New York Times and even the Post Dispatch had a pretty good article, I believe, December 27th, where there's a study that shows how since 2007 there's been a big increase in gun homicides and suicides in Missouri since the legislature back then repealed a law requiring handgun buyers to undergo a background check. And the New York Times study is even more impressive, you know, done by a top researcher and organization. So these guys are not listen to any kind of reason on this, see what's happening in St. Louis and in Kansas City. And one other question, what are they doing to hurt the environment here in this state now? What's the legislature going to do there? And lastly, is Tommy Pearson running? What's he doing? He's not going to be – he's running for lieutenant governor, is that right?
Yes.
Jay, thank you for the call. Marshall, I'll turn to you as to whether or not legislators are oblivious to some of the things that have been written and surveys taken about guns and gun control.
Well, oblivious or not, it has to do with basic core philosophy of what the lawmakers, regardless of party, believe in. And among the strong beliefs held by most Republicans is in the Second Amendment stated as right to keep and bear arms. And that's gospel for Republicans, and they're going to do whatever they can to make sure that remains as is. And to them, it's a lot of it has to do with a view of an overreaching federal government in Washington D.C. And let's not also forget that President Obama is about to issue an executive order regarding new gun control restrictions. And that will fuel even more of a pushback here in Missouri among lawmakers. So that's something that will probably get a lot more attention. And that actually might be more of an aid for getting a sales tax holiday for gun purchases. That actually might help get that a boost as far as activity goes.
Joe?
Yeah, I mean, guns have been a big political issue in Missouri. I mean, forgetting the studies and other stuff, just looking at it tactically. Since 2000. I mean, in 1999, Missourians narrowly rejected concealed carry that was put in place several years later over then-Governor Bob Holden's veto. But the most crucial thing was in 2000, the gun issue was used to defeat Al Gore in the state when he was running for president. I mean, George W. Bush narrowly carried Missouri in 2000. If Gore had won, and he was leading in the polls up till a week before, he wouldn't have needed Florida, okay? And the gun issue was the main reason. It was being used here and in several other states. Gore brought it up, I think, in the last debate. But at that point, you know, saying, I don't want to take her guns away. Well, my point being, because it was successful, it's been used then repeatedly in other elections since then, particularly in states like Missouri, where it's been very potent. And I think that's why you see Koster in rural Missouri emphasizing that he supports gun rights, and he's being very careful about what he says on the subject, whereas you've got all the Republicans who are saying, we support gun rights, and if anything, we're going to expand it.
Terry, thoughts on this?
If the same. If you saw Senator Jean Carnahan when she was running for election, Senator Claire McCaskill when she's run for election. Women Democrats, they have that rifle handy when they're in outstate Missouri.
Yes.
Very quickly, Marshall, that our previous caller talked about the environment. Are there any issues relating to environmental concerns that you're aware of that we'll be hearing about?
None at the moment, but that can always come up. It was probably a bigger issue 2-3 years ago in regards to what to do with the Ozark National Scenic Riverways and whether or not that should become a state park, or the proposal to try to relinquish federal control over that. I suppose that could come up again, but there hasn't been any really big environmental issues come up. Other than, I will say this, regarding maybe putting some bills on the Department of Conservation as to whether or not they should pay for, damage caused by wildlife. But that's not really an environmental issue per se.
Right. Let's take another call. Gary in St. Louis, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. The federal Real ID requires certain security provisions in federal, in state driver's license. Missouri hasn't implemented those. I often go to a federal facility, and I'm wondering if Missouri is going to pass a law to incorporate those security features, or what the status might be as regards using my Missouri license to get into a federal facility.
Well, as we mentioned earlier in the show, right now, the General Assembly says they're going to deal with some of this. But frankly, I think the main way of dealing it will be to reinforce that they're opposed to complying with the federal Real ID requirements. I think until you have some top officials who can't get it on an airplane with their driver's license, you're not going to see any action.
This is where you can have your cake and eat it if you oppose the Real ID. You can be very vocal in your opposition to it. And then ultimately, when the federal government says that's the way it has to be, you say, well, okay, but we don't like it.
Marshall, as time winds down, what are you hearing with regard to sentiment about dealing with Syrian refugees coming into this part of the country? Anything?
Just that there continues to be a lot of concerns expressed by Republicans that the federal government is not doing enough to screen these refugees to make sure that they're not terrorists, and a lot of concerned comments from Democrats that we're sounding a little bit too discriminatory in our positions on that. So there will be a good bit of debate on that, but I don't know if it's going to be a huge issue this session.
Anybody at the table have thoughts on that? Another issue that has gotten a lot of attention recently concerns the transgender question, if you will. And I understand that that will also be something that will be debated this time, Marshall.
Yeah, there's a bill that, depending on how you categorize it, it's either an educational bill or a health bill. It would basically say that if you are a transgendered person, whatever your current physical gender is, that is the restroom you are restricted to use. I believe it's filed by Representative Steve Cookson, chairs one of the education committees. And again, this appears to be a pushback against student who wanted to use a restroom that she felt was lined up with the gender that she believes she is, or says that she is. And this bill is a pushback against that prevailing attitude and that prevailing support.
A.J. Bockelman, the longtime representative of the LGBT community in Jefferson City, has stepped down for other reasons, over the last 12 months. So I think this is going to slow them down in terms of their ability to make the kind of progress they had been making in the Capitol.
Well, Joe, did you want to?
No, well, I think this is one of the social conservative issues that often is popular during an election year because it does energize the base, and it may energize the other side too. But this is the type of stuff there will be a lot of – there might be a lot of debate on, but whether or not something actually comes out of it is something else.
A final call. We're bringing Melissa calling from University City. Melissa, please make it quick, though.
Yes. What have we seen in terms of legislation regarding human and sexual trafficking and exploitation in Missouri?
Anything, Marshall?
I will have to look that up. I think there probably will be at least one or two bills that will try to combat human trafficking.
Not hearing anything about that. One final quick thought. Terry, I'll start with you. Education. We mentioned it a moment ago, but are you seeing anything on the horizon that will be helpful to the system?
The governor said quite a while ago that he wanted to make education financing number one for this last year. He's already put a number on the table for higher education. Whether or not that will be affected by any backlash against the incidents at the University of Missouri-Columbia makes it an uncertain matter.
That incident in Missouri is going to obviously has already gotten the attention of some legislators. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Final thought. Marshall, leave us with a final thought about the session.
Buckle your seatbelts. 2016 will have a lot going on, even if very little gets done. Because it's an election year, I believe the presidential race, the governor's race, a lot of the other races will impact their way into what gets done in these halls.
Joe?
Yeah, in fact, Senate Chief Ron Richard told me that he was joking, but only he said that a lot of his members are running for higher office, so he expects a lot of stuff to be floating around his chamber.
Terry Jones?
Politics and politics, politics.
A lot of stuff floating around, and buckle your seatbelts. So that's where we are as the legislature prepares to convene on Wednesday, and they, of course, will be in session until May. Joe Manis, thank you so much for being with us. Marshall Griffin, thank you. And Terry Jones, as always, a pleasure to see you again. Coming up, Work and Life reporter Mary Leonard talks about her beat during 2015. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.